Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
We're joined live by Karamjit Singh, senior consultant at JLL. He's also CEO of ShowSuite. ShowSuite.com is a new homes portal where you can experience your new dream home in 3D and VR. You can download the app for free on the Apple app and the Google Play Store. Will this finally work? Fort Laguna Park, the 40-year-old high-rise development off Marine Parade Road, has been put up for collective sale by tender again, this following three failed attempts earlier. Now, Laguna Park asking for $1.48 billion. That's the same reserve price as its previous attempt back in September. The development has made headlines for a spate of vandalism incidents over selling en bloc back in 2008. The apartment blocks, though, offer a panoramic view of East Coast Park and the sea, with Siglap MRT station set to open in its vicinity by 2023, upping the amenities close to it. Okay, Karamjit, this is a much coveted location in Marine Parade with unobstructed views of the sea. Do you think Laguna Park stands a good chance this time?
This time, it's a different thing, but generally speaking, just looking at the attributes that you just described, and I totally agree, it's a great plot. Not just for the high-rise ability, the sea view potential, but now with the MRT literally at its doorstep in time to come. There's so much happening around the eastern side, and that too with Terminal 5 coming on. My hesitation, and I'm hoping I'm not breaking hearts here, and again, this is very much more generally speaking amongst all bigger scale on blocks at this point of time. I think it's a bit of a wrong timing coming onto the market when things have cooled off quite substantially.
Well, Karamjit, at a land rate of $1,231 per square foot per plot ratio, what do you think of the price point?
So at that price, whoever hypothetically makes that purchase needs to be content with or confident in selling the brand new project at an average price of, what, $2,000 per square foot. One can argue that that's a bit toppish or that's in line with the upper end of what's selling in the market right now. But the big, big challenge is not so much about the pricing. It's whether are developers prepared to swallow such a huge investment, bearing in mind that irrespective of the scale of such an investment, developers are required to buy, build and sell the entire project within 5 years, and that just makes it very, very much more difficult for any big-scale investments or on block.
Well, speaking of other big investments, big land sites, a stone's throw away from Laguna Park, Mandarin Garden failed in its attempt to go en bloc despite a record asking price of $2.9 billion. What impact do you think Mandarin Garden's failed attempt could have on Laguna Park's en bloc attempt?
Not very much, to be frank, because while there might be quite a bit of buzz amongst the owners or sense of anticipation, but again, you know, let me put things in perspective in respect of on-block opportunities. They effectively, the opportunity to sell a project on a collective sale basis typically lasts for barely months. So it's the moment the window opens, you've got at most anywhere between 9 to 12, at most 15 months to capitalize on a confluence of factors that gives rise to the arbitrage behind, you know, an en bloc phenomena kicking in with developers paying the premium and the profit that owners will stand to gain. But whereas that window of opportunity has quite clearly closed, and that closed, in fact, closed even before the cooling measures kicked in July last year. So, you know, it's probably a good product to be thinking about in an en bloc, but when the market sentiments are much more conducive than they are right now.
Okay, well, Karamjit, Mandarin Garden is also a massive site with more than 1,000 units, which experts say is one of the challenges that have led to this failure to go en bloc the last time. What would it take for Mandarin Garden to succeed if it were to attempt en bloc again?
Right, good question. So, you know, in relation to some of the cooling measures that were announced several years back, The government don't want developers to hoard supply, and that's a fundamental mechanism to control, rein in residential property prices. So as a result, they've created a mechanism that requires developers, when acquiring a residential piece of land, to undertake to build, physically build, complete the entire development, as well as sell out every single unit, failing which they would need to pay penalties, and the time frame for that is 5 years. So if that 5 years remains 5 years, then it will continue to be a struggle for any big-scale project like Mandarin Gardens also. So unless that regulation is calibrated in line with the scale of the project, unfortunately, it's going to be very, very tough for developers to stomach that risk associated with the 5-9 requirement.
Now, researchers say more than 30 en bloc attempts have failed since July's cooling measures were introduced. Do you think the en bloc fever has cooled?
Well, it's more than 30. I think it's about 50 en bloc tenders have closed without a buyer. And in my mind, there's no other two ways about it. It's not that it's cooled off. It's as good as shut. Just conventional residential en blocs, I think the window has closed. There might be some pockets of successes amongst non-residential en blocs with potential for hotels and maybe commercial. And unless owners collectively come together and bring down the expectations to perhaps as much as 15% or 20% from what they had signed up for last year, developers aren't likely to bite just as yet.
Okay, moving away from the private developments right now, Karamjit. Last Thursday was reported that HDB resale flats saw a jump in the volume of transactions at some 26%. That's the highest jump in 8 months since August last year. Flash estimates from real estate portal SRX Property showed that there were over 1,600 HDB resale transactions in March, up from about 1,003 in February. But last month's resale volume is still about 13% lower than that in the same month last year. Now, tell us, why do you think there's been a 26% jump in transaction volume in March, Karamjit?
Well, traditionally, February tends to be the quietest period, or one of the quieter periods. One is it's a shorter month. Secondly, it's the disruption with CNY. So I think it's no surprise, and whether it's in the HDB market, whether it's in the private residential market, activity tends to shrink, and with a lower base of February, March tends to spring up. And I sense that that's the case.
Resale flats in mature estates saw their prices fall by 0.1%. Those in non-mature estates up 0.5% compared to February. Did this come as a surprise at all?
It's difficult to draw conclusions based on month-on-month trends, mm-hmm. and especially since these movements are so minuscule, with mm-hmm. 0.1, 0.5, whether it's plus or minus, mm-hmm. They really don't, we can't draw real conclusions of a looming trend. But the, from a bigger picture perspective, what we see is that is generally a much more stabilized HDB market with a slight slant towards, a down slight, but on a moderated pace.
Okay. Well, as we await more details from the government on several initiatives, I mean, the Home Improvement Program 2 and the Voluntary Early Redevelopment Scheme, do you think home buyers are jumping ahead to make their purchases first before these specific announcements are made?
Well, going by what was announced earlier, I don't get a sense that any of the details around HIP 2 and VERS, the two schemes that you spoke about, where the details will be announced anytime soon. And I think what the Prime Minister did was in his speech is laying the foundation for something to be rolled out something like 20 years from now, 10 to 20 years from now. So it's quite unlikely that they may want to tie their hand down with a set of rules to be implemented 10 or 20 or 30 years downstream. So I doubt home buyers are reacting to it. and making purchases in anticipation of that. And I think it's just more of getting back to, you know, the actual requirement of if they need it, they buy it. If they find the right match to it, you know, that's where the purchase takes place.
As always, he powers your property decisions. Karamjit Singh there, senior consultant at real estate firm JLL and CEO of ShowSuite.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.